There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hameen, my co-host. This is podcast number 855, October 19th. 2020. Nasser?
Thank you, sir. I say welcome to Love Letters in the Sand for the Speed Demon from Stephen Age. Now back to Postmaster of Podcasting, Mr. Rogers.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's special podcast, it is indeed a love fest for LCH, and we're calling it Highway 91. Since there were no races, we love everybody, and this is going to be a lot of listener participation. I also want to remind everybody, we need your contributions to keep this program on the air. Just click on the Support F1 Weekly tab on the front page. You know you want to. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I'm doing very good, sir. Thank you. And you're right, this is Highway 91, northbound, traveling very fast. And will be for a few more years. But I understand this is the podcast you have been waiting since the 2007 Australian Grand Prix. Ain't that the truth, Mr. Rogers?
That is so true, Nasser. The truth is out. You've let the cat out of the bag.
And we're not talking about Pussycat Doll here, are we?
No.
Well, you know, Her Majesty's Kingdom has produced more Formula One champions than any other nation. In 1973, the season I started following Formula One, Jackie Stewart set a new bar at 27 Grand Prix wins. Then your hombre, Le Professeur, took the record for France before the Red Baron took it to the fatherland with 91 Grand Prix wins. Now, after the race in Germany, the crown goes back to Rule Britannia. I don't think there's anybody out there alive who thought that the record set by Mr. Schumacher in Shanghai 2006 will ever be broken. And here we are, Lewis Carl Hamilton on 91 Grand Prix wins. And we are very pleased to present a special tribute to him by his compadre and our friend Chap Philip Pegler, now enjoying the California sunshine in Pacific Grove. So, Mr. Pegler, please take it away.
Highway 91. As I sit down and reflect on my time as a Formula One enthusiast, the once easy to remember small details of each and every Grand Prix have faded further and further into the distant past. 27 years, 439 Grand Prix, 35 different Grand Prix winners. It's all become one giant blur, from which one emerges some incredible memories. From Senna at Suzuka in 1993 to Bottas in Sochi in 2020, there's been both Alain Prost and Sebastian Vettel achieving four titles, and Michael Schumacher with seven. Now we stand on the eve of what may be the greatest Formula One driver of all time, matching and surpassing Schumacher with 91 Grand Prix victory, and equaling the German driver with seven drivers' championships. But for a little while, perhaps we should put down the history books and forget about the past. Let us instead cast our mind firmly upon the present. This is a new time, a time that we should perhaps relish and appreciate, because before we realise what we are witnessing, it will all be over and done with. The present has an uncanny way of rapidly becoming part of the past. No matter how hard we try to hold on to it, it always slips from our fingers and disappears into life's rearview mirror. So stop and breathe, take a step back. Consider the privilege of what we are all witnessing. Call it what you want. Motorsports magic. Human greatness. This is the era of Lewis Hamilton, a man who, if not already, is about to cement himself as arguably the greatest Formula One racing driver of all time. Lewis Carl Davidson Hamilton was born on January 7, 1985 in Stevenage, England. At the age of five, he took up karate to defend himself as a result of bullying at school. In 1993, at the age of eight, he began karting and quickly began winning races and cadet class championships. At the age of 10, he approached McLaren boss Ron Dennis for an autograph and told him, "Hi, I'm Lewis Hamilton. I won the British Championship and one day I want to be racing your cars." Dennis wrote back in his autograph book, "Phone me in 9 years. We'll sort something out then." In 2001, Hamilton began his open wheel racing career, competing in the four-race Formula UK Winter Series, finishing seventh in the championship. His relationship with Manor Motorsport continued, with both the 2002 and 2003 Formula UK Championships, finishing third and first respectively. His 2002 campaign saw him winning 3 out of 13 races, but he would stamp his authority over the series the following year when he claimed 10 victories from 15 races. His pattern of first mastering a series and then following it up with a championship would continue when he advanced to the 20-race Formula 3 Euro Series, winning a single race in 2004 before leaving Manor to join the French ASM team, where he would win 15 races and the 2005 championship. In 2006, he would move up again, this time to the GP2 series, and he wasted no time in establishing his dominance once again, winning 5 of the first 11 races and holding the series lead en route to the championship at year's end. In 2007, he arrived. Partnered with reigning two-time world champion Fernando Alonso at McLaren, Hamilton began his Formula One career with 9 consecutive podiums, winning for the first time in Canada in only his 6th Grand Prix. He repeated the feat the following round in Indianapolis, and by mid-season he appeared unstoppable. The young phenom was looking increasingly like he was going to accomplish the impossible and win the world championship as a rookie. However, in spite of those incredible performances, Hamilton would lose his rookie championship campaign by a single point after a poorly called Grand Prix in China and a chaotic race start in Brazil. In 2008, with a 5-year contract in hand, he would return to McLaren, winning 5 races and standing on the podium 10 times. But whereas in 2007 he had lost the championship by a single point, this time he would win the championship by the same margin. An action-filled season finale in Brazil, where rival Felipe Massa won the title and then lost it, all in the race's final moments, created the kind of drama that Hollywood would find hard to come up with. After seeing his title hopes begin to slip away, and with rain beginning to fall, Hamilton passed Timo Glock to take the 5th position he desperately needed to secure the title. The next 3 years saw not only the rise of Braun Grand Prix from the ashes of Honda and the arrival of Sebastian Vettel with Red Bull Racing as perennial contenders, but also the start of the decline of McLaren-Mercedes as the dominant force in Formula One. Over the next 4 years, Hamilton, who by then had been joined by Jenson Button at the Woking team, often found themselves playing second fiddle to Vettel, who marched on to 4 consecutive world championships. Sensing the edge was gone, and unconvinced that McLaren would return their previous dominance, Niki Lauda was able to convince Hamilton to join Mercedes from 2013, replacing the retiring Michael Schumacher. With 21 wins and a single world championship to his name, Hamilton's first 6 years in Formula One eclipsed most drivers' entire careers. But what we had all seen in the Hamilton-McLaren era was simply a prologue to what has gone on to be one of the most storied careers in motorsports. Hamilton's first year with Mercedes showed that the team still had much work to do. Although he finished every race except for 2 in the points, including 5 podium finishes, he would score just a single Grand Prix victory at the Hungaroring, finishing 4th in the championship. But as the 2014 began, and with it the dawn of the hybrid era in Formula One. Hamilton began a period of dominance, previously unseen with the exception of perhaps Michael Schumacher. Hamilton has dominated the past 7 years with five championships and a run-up to Nico Rosberg in 2016. He sits on course to claim his seventh title this year, and surely there can be no doubting the potential for both surpassing 100 Grand Prix victory and an eighth championship in 2021. The record books are indeed impressive. Again and again, we hear that the statistics make Lewis Hamilton the greatest Formula One driver of all time. And again, we hear that perhaps we cannot really compare drivers of one era to the next. But no matter which way you look at it, Hamilton's greatness on track is hard to argue against. As we learn more about Hamilton the man, the more we come to understand that this once contentious character, often accused of cruising the line between outright self-confidence and sheer arrogance, is understood to be a deeply compassionate and caring individual who drives himself from every angle he knows in the direction of greatness both on and off the track. You know, the purpose of this reflection is not to assess Hamilton the man. It is to consider his achievements in the sport. His journey along Highway 91 has taken us all past many memorable moments. Who can forget the moment that the rookie championship was lost in the gravel bed beside the pit lane in Shanghai? Or the last corner drama in Brazil, where he took his maiden championship the following year? The 2009 MP424 was no match for the Braun 001 with its double-decker diffuser. Yet he still won two Grand Prix fair and square with a car that had been close to 3 seconds off the pace at the start of the year. There was his desperate pursuit of Button at Monza, which ended up in the barriers at the second Lesmond corner, and moments of outright frustration with McLaren's apparent inability to provide him with a car that he needed to get the job done. But for all of those negative points, the positive achievements far outweigh everything. Hamilton has systematically put every single teammate away, perhaps with the exception of Button at McLaren, who actually finished ahead of him 2 of the 3 years they were teammates. His first teammate, reigning world champion Fernando Alonso, was beaten, and Rosberg, while pushing Hamilton, was never really able to get ahead of him, and only won the 2016 title after Hamilton lost his engine in Malaysia. And now, with Valtteri Bottas, Hamilton again finds himself occasionally pushed, but more often than not, he is the dominant side of the team's garage, and Bottas is the one picking up the straps. He is seemingly an unstoppable tour de force and shows no signs of slowing down. In Shanghai 2014, Hamilton would match the late great Jim Clark with 25 Grand Prix wins, and later that year, Mansell with 31. Since that time, he has gone on to match and surpass Ayrton Senna in Japan 2015 with 41 wins and Alain Prost at the 2016 Mexican Grand Prix with 51. His 50th victory had come a week earlier at the US Grand Prix, and since that time has gone on to record an incredible 40 Grand Prix victory in 4 years. Last year's Chinese Grand Prix saw Hamilton claim his 75th victory, setting him on the final stretch to match and surpass the great Michael Schumacher on 91. One might ponder where we could be had the 2007 Chinese Grand Prix not ended in the gravel and the 2016 Malaysian Grand Prix not ended with an engine failure. Lewis Hamilton, 8-time world champion, 93 Grand Prix victory, looking firmly at a 9th championship and 7 race wins away from 100. But as Don Meredith's legendary saying goes, if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. Perhaps Nico Rosberg would not have retired had he not succeeded in winning the 2016 crown. Perhaps the entire shape of the F1 paddock would have changed many things over the years that followed. But things are as they are, and together we can only look ahead to what might be. The road of Formula One has climbed many mountains and passed through many valleys throughout its 70 years of its existence. There have been many great drivers, from Nuvolari and Vadzi to Moss and Fangio, Stewart and Clark, and then Lauda and Hunt, Andretti and Scheckter. In the 80s, we enjoyed Prost, Piquet, Mansell and Senna. The 90s brought us Schumacher, Hakkinen, Hill and Villeneuve. The early 2000s saw the arrival of Alonso, Weber, Vettel, Kubica and, of course, Hamilton. There are others, Barrichello, Frentzen, Coulthard and Button. And looking farther back, there's Farina, Surtees, Hill, Brabham, McLaren and Fittipaldi. All of these gentlemen are great drivers, and the argument who is the greatest will never be settled. What we do know is that through the varying degrees of greatness stands just a handful of men, and Lewis Hamilton is fairly firmly among them. We might wonder where, when or how this magical time will end, but the important thing is not to look for an answer to those questions. It is to appreciate and enjoy what is going on now. Instead of staring at 8 titles and 92 victories, let us all enjoy the journey of this remarkable driver and man. Look and appreciate how he is doing what he's doing. Later in life, we will all be able to look back on this incredible career, the story of a little boy from Stevenage who, with his devoted father, set out on a journey towards greatness and has both achieved and surpassed all of his childhood dreams. Highway 91, the long-awaited extension is just about complete and the road to the future is about to open. Enjoy the ride, everyone.
Keep up the good work, Philip. An outstanding job. Yes, indeed, it is in the mail. Nass?
Yes, sir. That was very well written and very well read, and I am very thankful to him for taking the time to do this. Much appreciated. And, you know, next time you see him somewhere in the hood, please make sure you treat him to a fully loaded fish and chips. Can you handle that pressure, Mr. Rogers?
You can count on me, Nasser.
Very good, sir. Very good. Now, also, very special thanks to all the listeners who took the time and sent in their contribution, which we will read now. And very exciting to hear from people around the world and their thoughts and how they look at things. So these are their opinions. And for just for time consideration, we cannot read everything everybody sent. So please excuse us for that. But what we will read, you will get the message. So, Mr. Rogers, would you like to begin the begin?
Thank you, Nasser. This is from Leo Bertella from Sao Paulo. Lewis reaching his 91st win record feels to me that is a bit more fulfilling than when Schumacher established that mark. In my opinion, Lewis faced a much superior competition than Michael faced through his career, even though both had access to the best cars on the grid. I look back and see Michael dominating in an era that frankly did not have plenty of Hall of Fame level drivers. I mean, he kind of cheated to beat Damon Hill, for Christ's sake. On the other hand, Lewis beat Alonso, he beat Kimi, Massa, Schumi's second coming, Nico Rosberg, and Vettel in a much equal level playing field, and with little to no questionable decisions on his resume. Lewis is not particularly a saint also, but to me, this proves at least he could be named in the same breath as other F1 greats, or even higher.
Yes, sir. Obrigado to Mr. Bertella. Him and his lovely girlfriend, Miss Haisa, keep inviting me to Brazil for round 2. And one of these days, I will have to hop on a jet plane, sir, and go to Sao Paulo and visit Interlagos. I just hope the Brazilian Grand Prix stay in Sao Paulo. You know, that thing is also in play now. So we shall see. Okay, moving forward, we have one of our original listeners, Dr. Mark from Cambridge in UK. He writes, I first saw him and his father in the garage at a Silverstone F1 test day in 2006 while I was in there on a McLaren supporters day. He seemed shy and cautious, but none of that later on the Grand Prix weekend when I arrived in front of the video screen at Bridge, just as he pulled off the double pass of Piquet and Piccioni at Maggots in the GP2 sprint race, and the British fans exploded. Ever since on the track, he has undeniably and relentlessly joined the ranks of the very, very best. while regularly feeding his trolls with embarrassing antics off it. This is motor racing, though, not Miss World. So now his numbers have surpassed Senna and are about to do the same to the Red Baron. I forgive all the fluff and just enjoy his driving. What's more, unlike Senna and Schumacher, he's doing it without blatant cheating. Now, you know, this is interesting. This comment about doing it without blatant cheating is a very common thread, not just from our listeners, but also if you happen to look at racing websites, and, you know, this is very much a topic, you know, who's the goat and who's the sacrificial lamb. So this is something that has been brought up quite a bit, and of course, based on facts. Over to you, Mr. Rogers.
Mr. Passi from Finlandia, one of the best drivers of all time. He is now dominating alone in winnings and still goes on. Congrats, Lewis. Well done. Now we have an Aussie triple play.
Yes, sir. The Aussie triple play. We will start with Mr. Balraj in Melbourne. And he writes, as a McLaren fan since 1970, I was thrilled when Lewis joined our team and started winning races in the same year. I've always liked him and his approach to racing and followed him as he left McLaren and went to Mercedes. As he reached his 70th win, I remember thinking that Schumacher's 91 race win record was fast becoming a reality for Hamilton. I believe that there is no doubt that he will reach 100 plus race wins and also equal Schumacher's 7 world titles as well. I wish him all the best, and a shout out to the folks at F1 Weekly for all the work that they do to keep us well informed. So very kind of you, Mr. Balraj, and thank you very much for kind words. And hopefully you and me and our other friends in F1 Weekly, familiar members in Melbourne, we shall enjoy a Vegemite sandwich at Albert Park in the not-too-distant future. Your turn, Mr. Rogers.
The original JB, Jason Bentley, also in Melbourne. Records are there to be broken, and so one is equaled and likely to be broken with another one likely to be equaled at the end of the year. Number of drivers, world championships, of course. Across time, it is impossible to evenly compare one generation against another, so let's just focus on this weekend. The record was equaled in Germany, 55 miles from the hometown of Herr Schumacher, in a Mercedes, the last team Michael Schumacher drove for, by a driver who was signed by Mercedes as a teenager with a helmet presented from that final team by Mick Schumacher, in a race that Lewis Hamilton drove flawlessly, all on a weekend where the most races starts was equaled by Kimi Raikkonen. Imagine if he didn't go driving in circles and dirt for 2 years. And a local driver was able to answer the phone at home to go straight into qualifying. Formula One, what a beautiful fairy tale it can be.
Yes, sir, it is a fairy tale, and I've been loving this fairy tale since the age of 14. Okay, now we move on to the other side of Australia in Perth, and our friend Mr. Lucien Byfield, also known as Loosh on the Loose, he writes, Hamilton will equal and surpass the great Michael Schumacher on wins anytime soon. And I'm torn about this. In one sense, it makes sense as both drivers have enjoyed little competition in eras of domination and great reliability, which makes statistics an unfair measure of greatness. But both Lewis and Michael are without doubt two of the best we have ever seen. F1 is a cruel sport in regards to statistics. Had Prost had more reliability early on in his career, his stats would be much higher, as would Senna's. I do feel Michael was the faster of the two, but only by an inch. Many thought the 91 wins would never be reached. Now we will have two up there, and if Max, Charles, and maybe even a couple of others ever get into dominant eras, it may well be matched again, which I have a feeling will happen one of these days.
Peter Brazier, an executive for the European continent of F1 Weekly, of course. You know, the most annoying thing about Hammy is he is quite obviously there with Schumi, Stewart, Clark, Senna, and all the greats. Also, he is there without much nasty stuff, which puts him above Senna and Schumacher because they took wins at all costs over the line very often. So it is even more annoying that what is almost certainly the best driver of all time has a personality I cannot get behind.
Well, that's true, you know, different strokes for different folks. And if you look at, you know, how the young generation, especially with people like this kid Lando Norris and Daniel Ricciardo, how they operate and they behave, very, very different from the likes of Clark and Fittipaldi and Stewart. But we have to keep in mind, you know, guys in our age group, we are now in a different sort of a playing field as far as these young techies of today's and how they come through the system. Okay, sir, now we go from England all the way to New Zealand to our friend Mr. Garrett. He writes, about Lewis, great achievement, he is going to most likely surpass Michael's record. And records are there to be broken and special over the last few years when he made little or no mistakes. This might be that he is the fastest car and is a better driver than his teammates, what might help to make less mistakes. But this is not taking away that he is incredible talent. With my Dutch background, I'm a fan of Max. He might be more talented than Lewis and is only 22 and makes little mistakes. And has made little mistakes already. I have to say, which I've said a few times before, that the fastest way to bring an end to LCH runaway train is to put Max as his teammate. But unfortunately, this will not happen just the way people wanted to see a big rivalry between Schumacher and Senna. But we'll see how it works out as time goes by. Over to you, Mr. Rogers.
Schneider from Geneva. I remember being surprised that a team like McLaren would hire an unknown like Lewis. Then I saw him race at Hungary 2016 on TV, and he was unbelievably quick. 91 victories is an unbelievable number. I don't want to belittle it by mentioning number of races of the utter dominance of Mercedes. Let's just say, congratulations, Lewis. He's no doubt a great driver, but not even close to the personalities of a Schumacher, Senna, or Alonso.
Well, definitely very different than Fernando Alonso, as we found out in 2007. Thank you, Mr. Schneider. Okay, now we move to Signor Scopelletti in New York, upstate New York. He writes, to me, Lewis Hamilton is a bit of an enigma. He is a marvelously skilled driver and racer and has certainly earned all the acclaim he has received. The enigma is he has been fortunate to always be in a dominant car, especially in the last 6 years. But Hamilton has rarely had significant and long-term competition. We have seen him occasionally challenged by Vettel, Rosberg and Verstappen, but no one has been a consistent threat to him. Trying to rank drivers from different eras is impossible. Fangio, Clark, Stewart, Senna, and Schumacher drove in different eras which demanded varied skill sets. As Mick Schumacher reported his father saying, records are made to be broken. Hamilton will be the leader in wins. Someday we will be marveling at someone else breaking Hamilton's record. It is how the world is.
Okay, now we have a triple play from Pakistan. Farhan from Pakistan writes, and by the way, he has a Facebook page on Formula One Pakistan. From his very first win at Canada in 2007 to equaling a long-standing record of 91 wins by Michael Schumacher, Lewis Hamilton has proved that if you have the will and sheer determination of achieving something, there is nothing that can ever block your way. We are talking about a young boy from Stevenage racing remote-controlled cars with massive dreams in his eyes and huge support from his dad. One would have never thought, even in their wildest dreams in 2007, that this rookie would break a record 14 years later.
Next we have contribution from Mr. Muhammad Ali, very common name in that part of the world, by the way. He writes, I think there is no denying the fact that from the start of his career in racing, Hamilton was something special. Even at the low points in his career, he was always so determined and passionate about racing and winning. In 2013, while people were speculating about his move to Mercedes was a bad call, he and Mercedes-Benz together proved all critics wrong and achieved tremendous success over the past 7 years.
Okay, from Walid Babar. I've been following his career since Hapedos, or GP2, in 2006, and the guy has won every junior category he has competed in. Him moving to F1 in 2007, I did not expect him to perform as well as he did. His only poor season was 2011. Even then, he won 3 races, the same amount as his teammate, and took the only non-RB pole position of that year at Korea. The field is much closer than before. The drivers on the grid are now more talented and fitter than ever, and there will never truly be one great in F1 because that's impossible. But we could always pick a great for each era of F1. Like Fangio was a great of his time. Jim Clark was of his own. Prost, Senna of their own. Michael was the great of his generation. And now Lewis is among that list of all-time great drivers and the best of his generation. But unfortunately, people will only appreciate him when he's gone, because that's how it works. Michael wasn't appreciated in his own time either. The drivers who win always become the villains, and they're remembered when they're not there anymore. So live in this moment and appreciate history being made in this time. I'm very fortunate to say that I watched the victory number 91 milestone being reached twice, first by Michael and now by Lewis. It's something I'll remember forever as a fan of this sport.
Yes, sir, I very much agree with him, you know, and we've said this here that we never thought we will have successful drivers like Michael and Lewis in our lifetime. Not only that, but the talents we have seen, you know, from Alonso to Sebastian Vettel to Max, and the stories behind all these drivers, you know, Sebastian being picked up by Red Bull as a 12-year-old kid. So these are fantastic times, and he is very right, you know, that we need to enjoy this moment and feel good that we got to see all of this happening right before our very eyes. And finally, sir, we come to Mr. Peter Nygaard of Grand Prix Photo, a friend of mine for many years. He writes from Denmark. I am probably too old school to appreciate Lewis's diamond earrings, gold chains, and dreadlocks. If your childhood idols were Emerson Fittipaldi, Ronnie Peterson, Niki Lauda, Lewis Hamilton seems a little strange, But behind the wheel, there is no doubt he is one of the greatest drivers in the history of the FIA Formula One World Championship. I think there are two things that make Lewis stand out in comparison to Michael. First, Michael was always the undisputed numero uno in his team. Lewis has been under more inter-team pressure. And second, while Michael did a few stupid and dangerous things involving other drivers, Lewis is a more clean driver, and he makes far fewer mistakes. So, forget the diamond earrings, gold chains, and dreadlocks. Lewis Hamilton is one of the greatest F1 drivers ever. So once again, my thanks to everybody who took the time to write to us. And now, sir, the most important contribution. What do you say about LCH and arriving on northbound 91? Let's hear it from you, Mr. Rogers.
Well, people have been hearing my spot on this for 15 years. Let's face it, folks. He's in the most dominant car. He's had it for most of his career. Every win is a win with Mercedes-Benz power. I think deep down in his gut, he wants a win with another motor. Let's not forget, Michael Schumacher won with a Ford, with a Renault, with a Ferrari. He spread it out. I want to see Lewis do that, and I think we will see Lewis do that. This ain't over. The fat lady has not sung, and I believe that we will see a big surprise very soon where Lewis is going to say, hey, and we've seen Lewis do this before when he said goodbye to Papa. He said goodbye to Ron Dennis. And pretty soon he's going to say hasta la vista to Mercedes because he wants a bigger challenge. Let's face it, even Lewis is so competitive that he wants a different manufacturer powering him to another world championship. Maybe number 9. Ooh, that would be good. Number 9. Number 10. Number 11. Whatever. But I think we have a lot more to get from Lewis. This ain't over. And just enjoy the ride.
Very true, sir. This ain't over, and this will continue. So what else is going on in the world of motor racing and in the life of Mr. Clark Rogers?
Well, I find motor racing very intriguing. He's off. He's back again. And I get really confused when I read headlines that say, Van Wall to build continuation 1958 F1 title-winning car. You may purchase one at £2 million. Financing not available.
That was very strange news item. That car is a very, very beautiful car. And Mr. Rogers, when I was very young, probably 6-7 years old, I had a six-page sort of a big size postcard sort of a book, and there were, I think, 6 cars there, and one of them was this Van Wall, which had, that's why I have such an affinity for this vehicle. And when Mr. Brazier and I went to the now closed Donington Museum, I did spend quite a bit of time, you know, looking at this beautiful car and appreciating the beauty and the joy it brought to me. But this was very surprising that they are building these cars. I did not even know this company was in. I don't know much about the background, but I thought this company was long gone. But, you know, hey, whatever it takes to bring more beautiful things in this world, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I can't wait to see the cars. They will sell easily, just like the Aston Martins that they recently manufactured or the Jag E-types. This is trending, but I was stunned to see the Van Wall VW5. Of course, this is the car that brought Brooks and Moss, and also a very forgotten, another Lewis. Unfortunately, Lewis Evans, he was the driver for Van Wall, but he was a number 3. And it's great stuff, but in those days when you were number 1, you had a lot of power like Stirling Moss. You could test all the cars that the team had, and you could pick. You could say, well, I want the gearbox from number 2. I want the carburation from number 3, and I want everything put into number 1. And so Lewis Evans, poor Lewis Evans, who was a great driver, always got the number 3 car, basically the leftovers, but he did well with that leftover. Van Wall is a great story. 58 is a great year. I can't wait to see these cars.
Yeah, this gentleman you were talking about, Stuart Lewis Evans, his manager, believe it or not, was Bernie Ecclestone. That's how far Bernie goes. And 1958, if I remember correctly, was the first year they had the Constructors' Championship in Formula One. And, of course, Van Wall won. And, you know, the interesting thing about it, this company was owned by a gentleman named Tony Vanderwell. And I know he was an industrialist, but I think they used to make ball bearings. That was their main business. And I remember when I started following racing in the early 70s, his son, I believe his name was Colin Vanderwell, he raced in British Formula 3 or some level at that of series. So it's interesting how these old names keep coming back like a boomerang.
Well, I like it when history comes back so we have perspective and remember the people that lost their lives in this sport.
Yes, and you know, if only Alpine was coming back as Matra, oh man, I would be so, so elated.
Well, unfortunately, we don't want even the word Matra around today's F1 just simply because a Matra has a unique sound and we don't want to mess that up.
Oh, yes, absolutely. We want Hoover and Oryx sound. Very true. Okay, sir, just a few days ago, it looked like a done deal that Mick Schumacher will be in Formula 1 with Kimi Raikkonen's team, Sauber Alfa Romeo. And I'm sure you've heard the latest news. Now they're saying that he may go to Haas.
That is true. I read the same thing. Haas is powered by Ferrari. As a matter of fact, they got a lot of Ferrari. I think it's fascinating. Either team would be great, but I prefer Mick Schumacher right next to Kimi so he could go, Kimi, help me.
No, you know, I think he's German-speaking, and I think I don't know the number of people who work there, but I think it's team is based in Hinwil. I think it's the German-speaking part of Switzerland, so I think he will be a good fit at Alfa Romeo and keep that Italian connection. And I don't think his personality will be at ease with Gunther Steiner's foul mouth.
That's a very good point. We'll see what happens, but I agree that could be problematic. Now, one more point I want to bring up is Racing Point. It's come out. They're already copying, reverse engineering parts, and buying parts from Mercedes, because now today's Racing Point is slowly morphing into the 2020 Mercedes-Benz. Is that hilarious or what?
Well, they should just call this car next year the Green Arrow.
Very good point. Yes, next year it'll say Aston Martin, but it'll really be a facsimile of a Mercedes.
Yes, and you know, the other news that came over the weekend, which really surprised me, is Darlington Capital, the new owners of Williams, apparently, they are not interested in honoring the contract that the previous team signed with their drivers. And now there are reports that Sergio Perez, instead of the team paying $5 million to George Russell or whatever they are paying, they can stop that bleed and bring in $15 million from hiring Sergio Perez. So that was kind of eye-opener for me. But this is Formula One, you know, what do you expect?
Yeah, the only thing I thought was bizarre is why would Sergio Perez want to go to Williams?
I think this team will change. This team will change. They have the right people now. And it will take time. It's not going to happen overnight. But things will change here. But I'm very surprised. You know, maybe George Russell should take his contract to Eddie Jordan and ask him, you know, hey, I have a written contract. Am I safe here?
Eddie knows better than that.
Now he does.
Absolutely. Keep up the good work, Nash. Another outstanding job. This LCH Love Fest must come to an end. And it won't come to an end. I don't know. 2-3 more years, 4 years. Who knows? It's going to keep going. Mercedes is going to keep dominating. So we'll have to come up and kiss other drivers and hug other drivers in the meantime.
Yeah, you know what is interesting is, sometime in the junior Formula, Formula 2, Formula 3, or even Formula 4, or even the world of karting, you keep hearing these names, you know, people who are like super uber dominating or rattling somebody's cage who's been there for a year or two. Right now, I don't see anybody like that. I mean, there were two or three drivers I was expecting a lot, but they have not really delivered in Formula 2 and same in Formula 3. But I will tell you this, Mr. Rogers, there is this young French kid by the name of Theo Pourchaire who came in F3 this year as a rookie, and he was 16 when he came in and won a race or two, and then he turned 17. And he's going to be taking part in the Formula 2 race. I think the next Formula 2 race, they have two rounds remaining in Bahrain and Abu Dhabi. He could be a breakout candidate as the next big, you know, racer. And talking of French drivers, I'm sure you saw the news. Now they are linking, which I think is the right move if it happens, that Pierre Gasly may go to Renault.
It's possible, but Renault still has to be machismo. And we don't know that yet.
Well, Machismo Man is coming there.
The Machismo Man is coming, but he's 40 years old.
Well, I'll tell you, I predict podium for him next year. And I predict podium for Sebastian Vettel in a green car.
I'm not predicting anything.
Well, I have to ask you your favorite question. Next round is next weekend, Portuguese Grand Prix. Who do you think is going to win?
Some dude that has a lot of wins that people love a lot.
That's true. Well, then the question should be, would Max out-qualify Bottas?
Yes, of course. Oh, I love America. I love the world. Yes, Max, Bottas, I know, Lewis. Let's get somebody else in the mix. Let's get somebody else on the podium. Come on, I can't wait for Fernando to get in there. Woo! Exciting!
Yeah, but you know, looks like apparently the 2021 calendar has been leaked, not set in stone, but because of the virus situation in Australia, the Australian Grand Prix is set for very late in the season. Remember, it used to be very late in the season when it was at Adelaide, so we'll see how it turns out. But you know, it's interesting, the season is going to end in December, and I think we'll have a first race. When is the first race? In March. Yeah, and that'll be interesting. Looking forward to it. Let's just hope this virus is gone, man.
Virus is not gone. It's going to be here for many years. There's nothing we can do. Just live with it. Once herd immunity steps in, we'll be free as a bird.
Well, I hope you're correct.
Thank you. I hope I'm correct, too. Anyway, keep up the good work, Nass. I certainly want to thank, again, Philip Pegler for an outstanding, well-written Highway 91 dedication. I also want to mention Gary Sloan. We'll be back next week. And don't forget, we're back next week. We've got Portimao this weekend, and it's going to be exciting. New track, undulating, lots of corners, lots of straights. This is a great track, and I definitely believe that if Ricciardo could get back on the podium one more time, it's going to boost Renault. Renault is going to start getting addicted to podiums right when Fernando comes to town.
Now I'm looking forward to that day, Mr. Rogers.
We need another love fest with somebody else.
Yeah, we have to do a Historia de Amor for Nando.
Bravo, prego. So don't forget to get your Renault shirt dry cleaned so it's ready for March 2021. Any last words?
Yes, sir. I would love to see the Alpine F1 car in French Racing Blue.
Well, it'll be in the tricolors, blue, white, and red. Pour la France. And La France needs a little help right now, a little happiness, something to look forward to.
Yes, we all do, Mr. Rogers.
You're absolutely correct, Nass. On that note, I want to thank everybody who listens to this program. I love you. I want to thank everybody who contributes. And I will see you at the hot dog stand.
Thank you. Bye-bye.